This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. Nancy Salgado is a 26-year-old mother of two. She started working at McDonald's when she was 16 years old. She's been there for 10 years. When she started working there, they paid her $8.25 an hour. A decade later, they are paying her $8.25 an hour. She considers that more than unfair. So a couple of weeks ago, when Jeff Stratton, who is the president of McDonald's USA, was in her town to give a speech to a Union League club in Chicago, she went to the luncheon and got up and decided to have her say whether she'd been invited or not.
It's really hard for me to feed my two kids and struggle day to day. Do you think this is fair that I have to be making $8.25 when I've worked for McDonald's for 10 years? The thing is that I need a raise, but you're not helping your employees. How is this possible?
You're going to be arrested.
You're asking and you're out here putting your face and said, I've done all this, but to your employees, you haven't done anything. Because we're still living on poverty wage. And you know what? It's just not fair.
Jeff Stratton, who's the president of McDonald's USA, who was at the microphone at the time when she said, I've worked there for 10 years. He said, well, I've worked there for 40 years. At which point, Nancy probably should have said, and how much do you make? But she didn't. She was taken out, arrested, along with six other protesters there. Now, here's another part of the story of the people who are making minimum wage in this country. The burden they place financially on you and me, the American taxpayers. That's the conclusion of a new report from the Center for Labor Research and Education at Berkeley. Ken Jacobs is the chairman of that study, that center, and the co-author of the study, and he joins me now. Hi, Ken. Welcome to America Weekend.
Hi. Good morning.
When you talk about a tax burden on people like you and me, the American taxpayers, what do you mean?
Well, the combination of low wages, few benefits, and often part-time hours in these fast food jobs means that many of their families have to rely on taxpayer-funded safety net programs to make ends meet. The big surprise in this study is we found that relying on those public assistance programs to make ends meet was the rule rather than the exception for families of fast food workers. A staggering 52% of the families of the fast food workers are enrolled in one or more public safety net program.
When you talk about those programs, are you including Medicaid and food stamps?
That's right. We looked at just the largest of the federal programs, so Medicaid, Children's Health Insurance Program, Earned Income Tax Credit, food stamps, and temporary aid for needy families.
So these are people who essentially are proof that the minimum wage is not enough to be able to sustain a family, maybe not even an adult in this country.
That's right. And there's this sort of common conception of fast food workers that they're teenagers living at home with their parents, and as shown in that earlier clip you played, that really isn't the case. In fact, one of the things that we found was that more of the workers were parents with children living with them than were teenagers living with their parents.
And probably after the economic crisis of the last 5 years, a lot of people who had higher-paying jobs couldn't find anything else and may have found themselves ending up at a McDonald's or another fast food place. And we're not just talking about McDonald's here. But give me some numbers here, Ken. How much public support are we providing for these people who aren't getting the pay that they deserve from these companies?
Well, in terms of the fast food industry, we calculated $7
billion. $7 billion with a B.
That is correct.
That's probably equivalent to the amount of profit the fast food industry is making.
The top 10 fast food companies made over $7 billion a year in profits last year.
Now, of course, they would argue that if they paid people more, then they'd have to hire fewer people. You know, you've heard this many times before since you've done a lot of labor research. This is one of the arguments you always get. We're going to have to fire a lot of people if we pay our employees more. But if they paid them more and you and I didn't have to actually subsidize that, in the end, it might even out for us.
That's right. There's a lot of good research on what's happened in the fast food industry and in the restaurant industry when minimum wage increases have gone through, and generally they have found no negative impact on employment. In fact, the most comprehensive study done in the United States found a small positive but not statistically significant impact on jobs.
And what would happen to these companies if they actually charged us the customers more. I'm not talking about one person just deciding, okay, at my McDonald's franchise from now on, a Big Mac's going to be $6. But if the industry took a broader view of this and said, you know what? And they said to the public, we're going to have to charge you more so that we can pay these people more. Would that work?
I think it would, and that is one of the things you, if you have either a mandated pay increase due to a higher minimum wage, a policy, or if companies across the board started improving wages, they can compete on that basis. And the cost increases you would need would not be that large in order to make a big impact on how much people earn.
To me, it's almost a corollary to the healthcare situation where Americans don't see the hidden tax behind each person who has to go to the ER and get emergency care but can't afford to pay for it because they don't have insurance, and that cost then gets passed on to the rest of us to the tune of something like $1,000 per American. That's a hidden cost that we don't see. And you're telling me that there's a hidden cost to these companies not paying these people a greater minimum wage, and that hidden cost rises to a tune of $7 billion a year.
That's right. There's a large hidden cost of low-wage work and of jobs that don't provide health benefits. In these jobs, median wage is $8.69 an hour, and only 13% have health benefits through their employer. And that's not enough for people to survive on. And so we as a society decide that we're going to supplement that in order to, because that if people are too low income, that has major impacts on the rest of us and on the rest of society.
Your study is called Fast Food Poverty Wages. Are these people really at the poverty level or below?
About 20% are at the poverty level or below, 1 in 5, and 2 in 5 are at or near poverty. Generally, we use 2 times the poverty level as the point where people really do need some kind of support. But altogether, 50% of the families, over 50% of the families, are relying on public assistance programs because they earn too little.
As you know, there is a group called Fight for 15. Nancy Salgado, whose audio I just played a little while ago, is one of the leaders of that movement to try to get the minimum wage raised to $15 an hour. President Obama hasn't gone that far, but in his State of the Union address earlier this year, he said that he would like to see the federal minimum wage raised to $9 an hour. Do you have a sense, after doing your study, of where the number is that would balance it out so that we are not subsidizing, through these public assistance programs, the employees of these fast food corporations?
We did not look at the question of, at each dollar increase, how much do you reduce the amount that people need, but a minimum wage increase would make an important impact. It would be real, and it wouldn't solve the problem. Getting it up higher would make a much bigger difference.
It would make a difference, but it wouldn't solve it, is what you're saying.
Right. I'm saying, yes, each step you go up is going to reduce the problem. Getting it up to $15 an hour obviously would make a much bigger difference.
Why hasn't this message been heard louder by people who make these sort of decisions? I mean, I realize that there's a lot of corporate pressure in Washington, but this one seems to be a math problem.
Well, I think the companies are making good profits on a business model the way that they're operating. We should say that there are some companies who operate differently. In-N-Out Burger pays much better wages and has good, much lower turnover, good productivity. So there are different ways of doing business. But without more public pressure, you won't see change.
You know, the fast food people, in particular McDonald's, have said, look, you know, there are plenty of people who have worked at McDonald's in their lives, and they've gone on to successful careers. I'm one of those, by the way. When I was 18 years old, I spent a summer working in a McDonald's, making minimum wage. I once looked online at an inflation calculator and figured out that if inflation were taken into account and nothing else, if I'd never gotten a raise, if inflation were taken into account, today, I'd be making $9.60 an hour, which is above the minimum wage in almost every state. But they take the attitude of, look, people don't work here forever. What do you say to that?
Well, I think it's very misleading. There are some set of people who work summer jobs, who work low hours. But when we look at the bulk of the hours worked, the real core part of the workforce, it really doesn't fit that profile. 68% of the core frontline fast food workers are key bread earners for their families. over one in four have children that they're supporting on these wages. So this is not just a, for most people, a job that they go through or some form of supplemental income. Yeah, many, the majority of the workforce really are supporting themselves and their families on this income.
And by the way, raising that minimum wage would probably cut down on turnover in a lot of these places as well. Ken Jacobs is chairman of UC Berkeley's Center for Labor Research and Education and co-author of the report on how fast food workers are a major tax burden. Thanks so much for joining me here today. We'll be right back.